This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three, Ready, Set, Bet here for realist time. For realist time, Matt Brown, Femi Bebefe here. The world's largest sports book. It's hopping. It's buzzing. We got sports going on. We got people signing up for contests.
Have you signed up yet?
By the way, I have not. I'm gonna wait till officially contest week is next week.
As locals, like we procrastinate.
Well, which is why, like, I look out here. And by the way, no better time like now than to talk about the contest. So all three contests out here at Circa, of course, you go in. $30 million is guaranteed across all the contests. If you have a gigantic bankroll, there's a $100,000 contest in the Grandissimo. Regular Survivor, $1,000 as is millions. You go in, five picks against the spread each week. And you either don't want to do good or bad, because there is a booby prize if you're horrible at it. And you can actually win money by being terrible at that one. But you know how Survivor works. You pick a team once, you can't use them again. You try to get all the way to the end with that. But 25 now, Grandissimo. So with the, you can see right there on your screen if you're watching along with us, $4 million guaranteed. So we're already at 2.5. The big sign up week is next week, and also that's late money because you don't have to plan ahead to come here if you've got 100K to enter a contest. You're hopping on your jet and you're coming and you're whatever. So like, I'm very interested to see. We got to 69 entries last year, Femi. I'm wondering, can we get to 80? You know, can we beat this thing by like another 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 entries, something? Because I think the surge is yet to come in that one.
Oh, I mean, across the board, the surge is yet to come, because like most people just wait till the last second. We have the Labor Day weekend. Yep. So we have sign up weekend, Labor Day weekend, you know, and then some people sign up the first week of the season because like if you are out on that Wednesday opening night game or the Thursday Australia game, you can double down again before Saturday at deadline and then sign up for the week one and then go ahead and pick then. So I think there's still so much more money to come across the board with all these contests. So it's fun. It's exciting. I'm just debating how many I want. I think I'm going to have two solo for sure. I'm sure my wife will probably have one. I'm like, do I need to have like another one or whatever? I'll have one in the millions. So it's fun. I love the contest. Anyone who's played Survivor, the minute you play, you get addicted. Yeah. So it's a good time, as I think we're actually going to be able to maybe see some football at some point in Cleveland. Maybe.
I'll be donating my $1,000 to the million every year. I am the absolute nut low worse at this because I'm 2-3 or 3-2 every single week. Yep. And where you don't want to be is just dead in the middle. Like 100%. that's death, you know? And so, but it seems like every week I'm 3-2 or 2-3 and end up right at about 500 over the course of the season. I'm like, I have no chance to win any of this stuff. Or like, horrific.
Or you straddle the quarter. Like it's like you have like a really good last week of a quarter and a really strong start of the next quarter, and then like you're just like 2-3, and it's just like, can we just ever lock this in like a 4-week window where I'm like running hot like this? Unfortunately, cannot do that.
Yeah, I know. It's super, super fun. And like, if you Survivor gives you juice every week that like you don't even realize until you get. So I mean, I made it to Thanksgiving last year, right?
Oh my gosh!
And so like it. Kind of weird, even though there was a lot of season left, it kind of started to feel real.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so where every single week, like you're just glued to these games, like as if you had $1 million, like, you know, down on,
cause
on
you
this
do.
Thing. Yeah. And it's just, it was unbelievable. So again, the sweat's real. Definitely fly. By the way, you only got to come one time. Like you sign up, finding a proxy out here, no matter where you live in the whole world. So you just one trip to Vegas and then you can play. And you get a sweat for as long as you last. We talked about Kate Anderson getting called up, so they're starting to pump it a little bit more here. But these statistics are absolutely insane. 93 and a third innings, 135 strikeouts.
Oh.
In 93 innings, the guy had a 40.5% K rate, a .64 whip. And he's coming up again. The number one prospect for the Mariners, number one left-handed, number five in all of baseball, and going in as a favorite in his first start in his career.
I mean, you read those numbers, you understand why he's going in as a favorite, right? like he's unhittable.
Yes.
He's
unbelievable. 135 Ks in 93 innings. That is insane.
I cannot wait to see this game. Now, I'm also, like we talked about a little bit earlier, I am on the Chicago Cubs side. Yes. I am back in the Cubbies, plus 115 in the first five, just because I think the betting market gets a little bit too crazy with these things. But maybe, just maybe, Kade Anderson can actually live up to these expectations. But I'm gonna be skeptical that he can do just that. So I am on the Chicago side in the first five.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy though. Like this was like a little graphic that is being put out on Twitter. I mean, like, everybody is like hyping this up right now. So I'm certainly, just from a fan perspective, excited to see if it translates, and we really are looking at kind of like the next big thing, right? Like if he's going to be it.
I mean, if he's that guy, I mean, it's jackpot for the Mariners, right? Yeah. Like, they have all these arms with Gilbert and Kirby and Hancock.
And get rid of another one and go get a bat.
And go get a bat.
Yes. Like, go get a bat. Go get a bat.
Because, like, that's the thing. Because, like, they've had all these arms for, like, the last handful of years. And for some reason, they've never all been able to be really good all at the same time. But, like, if you can get one of those guys, trade them in the offseason, get a big-time bat, add to the lineup, then you could be cooking with gas. But it all depends on if Kade Anderson is as good as we all believe. At least the pedigree says he is.
One more bet in your account. We have the Guardians on the road at the Rockies. This is Tanner Bibee going up against Gabriel Hughes here in this one. Might be a kind of a bulk thing going on there for Colorado. Bibee, one of those interesting guys that it seems like the stuff is certainly there, and you see the flashes with Bibee, but the consistency is never there with Bibee.
No, it's not. And that's why I'm going to play against it. Like, this is one of those plug your nose plays of the evening. Hughes, like, when he is out there, he's actually been rather unlucky when he's been out there. Like, you know, like, amongst guys that have pitched at least 30 innings, like, he's like the unluckiest pitcher in baseball. You know, like, the FIP is like pretty solid, like 3.5 runs, but the ERA is terrible. 6.69, not nice. But I just think that, like, Bibee tends to just be a little bit overrated in these spots. So I want to be on the opposite side of him. Every now and then I find myself on the Colorado Rockies. This is one of those times. So at a plus money price, plus 111, it was too intriguing for me to pass up on it. So as we say, we're going dumpster diving in Denver. Let's go out there and do it.
Absolutely. So we said here, we're going to talk about the East as well. Mm-hmm. And so, if we look at these exact finishing positions, your favorite is the Eagles to win. They are sitting there at plus 115. But I think the real interesting discussion becomes, what do people feel about this Cowboys team, this Commanders team, and even this Giants team as well, which I know it early on seemed to be getting a bunch of helium. And then now people have kind of cooled for whatever reason on the Giants. It seems like the sentiment has changed a little bit.
It was that Harbaugh video that came out.
Yeah. What do you agree with the Eagles being the favorite and as being as big a favorite as they are?
I do. Because I still think Philadelphia is incredibly talented. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like, we go back to last year, especially during certain portions of the season, that defense is ridiculously good.
Right.
And offensively, I think they needed a new voice. Like, Kevin Petullo is one of the worst offensive coordinators I think I've ever seen. Sean Mannion, first time OC. Let's see. He's going to have some growing pains, I'm sure. But if, like, they say they're going to do more under center stuff, like, they're going to lean more on the run game, I think that could work out for their skill set that they have on that side of the ball. And maybe there is a little bit of addition by subtraction, sending A.J. Brown to New England. Mekhi Lemon, if he can get healthy, that gives you another guy alongside Devontae Smith and the talent that they already have on their skill position guys. Why can't the Eagles be another 11-12 win caliber team, given what they have on paper?
I think you and I are kind of in the minority with this, because it's like, it's like A.J. Brown leaves and everyone is just kind of like off the Eagles.
Yeah, like, oh, it's over.
Yeah, you're like off the Eagles. And like you said, like the thing that I point to was exactly where you started with this. I'm going like, guys, have you looked at this defense? Like, this defense is like, their floor is going to be so high because they're not going to, like, you're not asking a ton probably from this offense on a week-to-week basis because they're not going to give up a ton of points. Nope. So, like, you don't have to go out there and have this run and gun, and Hurts doesn't have to throw for 4,500 yards and all these. Like, that doesn't have to happen here if this defense plays like I think they're going to play.
Get to 24, we win.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what it is for the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, at the end of last season, I mean, we all saw what they did to the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo in that game where they just completely shut down that offense, which was led by Josh Allen, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. They have that kind of ceiling. Like, they're like, they're alongside with the Seahawks, the Texans. When we're talking about the best defense in the league, I have the Eagles in that conversation as well. So I think people are being a little bit too dismissive of Philadelphia. I'm a Cowboys fan.
Yes.
Everyone seems to love Dallas, given that they've improved the defense. Like, yeah, like, it was not going to be hard to improve the defense. Last year, they were historically bad. So, like, but is it from 32 to now 20th?
Right.
Is it 22nd? Is it 16th? Because if it's 16th, okay, maybe they're cooking with gas.
That's the biggest question, like, right, is yes, it will be better. It's just how much better? Because if you get to league average, like, if you get to league average with this offense –
you
okay,
got something.
Now I'm interested.
Yes.
Now I'm something. Interested.
But like 27th is improved.
Yes.
Right. Like that's what we're talking about here. Right. Like, so like I think the Eagles win the division, in my opinion. I feel like it's 1-2 pretty clearly for me. Like Philadelphia 1, Dallas 2, barring some sort of injuries, of course. But if all things are healthy, that's how the NFC East is going to stack up. 3 and 4, I lean towards Washington 3rd, Giants 4th, but I don't know, man. Like the vibes out of DC are not great.
Right.
It's just you never know what you're gonna get.
That's where I'm kind of going with this. Is like the Giants to finish third is like over 2-1 as well. They're like +215 for the Giants to finish third. I think I like that team better than I like the Commanders. I mean, seriously, I think I like that
Commanders
team better.
Commanders are old.
Yeah, it's just
old.
And then I don't play into the whole injury prone thing or any all the stuff like that. But I will say is we kind of saw what this team looked like without Jaden Daniels. And like, Woo. If that were to happen again, we know we've got a pretty large sample size of what this team looks like without him. And it is a completely, completely different team. And so I'm a little worried on that. 215 first third. Like I said, I think it's a pretty clear 1-2.
Not the worst.
And it would not shock me at all if the Giants end up third in that division. When we come back, like we said, we know you guys are all playing fantasy football, and we are lucky enough to have an in-studio guest here. Jim Piacenti going to join us. We'll answer some questions for who you should be drafting at the top and maybe some sleepers as well.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Matt Grissom chiming in here, big-time college baseball analyst, and he said, okay, can get it done. And not only that, he is following it up with a no-run first inning bet and then also a Mariners first three bet on that as well. So feeling the Cade Anderson here.
You know what? As a Mariners fan, that's music to my ears.
I was going to say, love to hear it.
As a Cubs better, you know, I'm like, maybe he saves it for start number two. He can do that. But yeah, I mean, like, how could you not be excited with what Cade Anderson has brought to the table already early on in his career? So I think it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun to see how that plays out this evening. I will tell you something that is fun. We finally have football.
Okay.
in Cleveland.
All right.
The lightning delay lasted all of 1 hour, but we are back.
There we go.
In Northeast Ohio.
All right. So 12 and a half left there in the first quarter. So right now, Buffalo has the ball. We will give you some updates when we see Shadur out there with Cleveland and see if there's anything that, you know, catches our eye there in that one. We are going with the Blue Jays and the Yankees. 1-0 Jays over the Yankees. Very early in that. We're just in the second inning. So Dylan Cease, 1 2/3, 2 strikeouts for him already here against this Yankee squad. Again, Dylan Cease going kind of head to head. We said pretty much a 2-man race for the AL Cy Young. And so we'll see if he can fight back here in this one. We gave you the warning. If you liked him, you need to play him before, because it's definitely going to move. So we'll see how this all plays out here. But I'm with you, Femi. I think that a full strength Yankees team is probably the team to beat in the AL. And the biggest question is just, do we ever see the full strength Yankees team?
We keep waiting on Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
You know, like, where everyone said, hell, he's coming back. And like, Judge even said he's coming back. And I believe him. I don't think he would say that if it was like in question, but is it going to be post Labor Day? That's what it's seeming like at this point, like for Aaron Judge. So if he can get back and look kind of like himself headed to the postseason, I think that would be great if you're a Yankee bettor or just a Yankee fan out there. But Max Fried, hopefully he can come back from the IL, and hopefully the rest of those pitchers, whether it's Schlittler and Cole, can just stay healthy, because that's their bread and butter. It's that that trio right there, Schlittler, Cole, Fried. If those guys are clicking on all cylinders in October, they're a very, very dangerous team in what is a very, very weak American
League. They go and they make the trade for Heliot Ramos, and like, I think he's gotten like two hits as a Yankee or something. Like, the dude has like not done anything at all. And so maybe he just needs a little bit. Maybe he just needs a little help in that lineup too. But boy, it was like, certainly I understand he's a right-handed hitter. He's not left-handed. And like, you want to be left-handed hitting Yankee Stadium. However, moving out of San Francisco, it doesn't matter what handed you are, is always better for you. And I actually thought he was going to really thrive once he got over there, but so far not so good. And you look at this lineup and you just wonder how they keep winning. Rice has been great, but then Ramos, Garcia, Jones, Lombard, Jazz Chisholm has had a down year by his own accord. Like, he'll tell you how bad he's played. Wells and Caballero. And like, that's their starting lineup today. And yet this team, here we are, like, we're talking about now competing for the division.
Shouting distance from the Tampa Bay Rays. It just goes to show you how bad the American League has been, which means you shouldn't really write anybody off. Like, we all have our opinions. We all have the teams that we prefer and all that stuff. But I wouldn't totally write anyone off, because I think what's going to happen is someone's just going to get hot in October, and that's going to be the team that represents the American League.
Yeah.
Like, that's just kind of how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
Who got hot? Now they're in the World Series against the Dodgers, the Brewers, the Cubs, or whoever.
So we're getting going here in the fourth quarter. It's 14-10. Feeling pretty good here with the Lions and the Commanders. So they
start the scoring off.
They go scoreless in the second quarter. We get 10 points out of them in the third quarter here. So 14-10, beginning of the fourth quarter. We are down to the third string quarterback on the Washington side of things. We are down to the third string quarterback on the Lions side of things as well. So, hey guys, play like third stringers for us here. That would be nice. And, you know, keep this to less than you could have 10 more points, actually. We're fine with that, right?
Yeah.
You want to have another 10-point quarter? Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, 34 is fine.
We're good. Have another 10-point quarter. We're good.
34 gets me to the win, though. You know, as long as you don't go over 36, that's all I ask. So
you can have a 10-point quarter. It's fine. You don't have to be shut out or anything. Go ahead and try to do what you got to do, but just don't go past that. Like we said, we were in a lightning delay for the longest time here in Buffalo and Cleveland. Now Buffalo knocking on the door as they do punch it from the 1 yard line.
Like, for a second there, I'm like, are they going to stop him again? This was going to be one of the all-time goal line stands that we've seen in a preseason
little
game.
Ray Davis action punching it in there from the 1 yard line. So we'll see Shador Sanders here shortly, as he is going to play the first half if the plan sticks. The plan was Shador plays the first half, Watson third, Gabriel fourth. But again, there was a delay here. I imagine it's not going to change anything, but we'll let you know shortly.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine here, where it's like, hey, Shador, because they want to evaluate him. Mm-hmm. They want to get the full evaluation. And they said, like, we want to get both guys at least one half of football, and then we will go from there. Whether they do Watson for the full third, we'll, I guess, have to wait and see on that one. But I don't know why anything would change since we barely even got underway initially. And now we're back on track. So early first quarter, 7-0 Buffalo. Not great for someone like me who bet under 36.5.
Do we have a quarterback controversy coming out of Atlanta? Uh-oh. Cooper Rush, 10 of 11 here and for Atlanta. They're up 17-6 on the Indianapolis Colts.
Wow.
Do we have a quarterback controversy? Is Cooper Rush actually going to win the job there in Atlanta?
I know he's going to start at least a couple games this season. That I feel because I mean, we got Penix and Tua as the QB 1 and 2. Like, those are injury prone guys, or guys that tend to get nicked up. Cooper Rush he's played a decent amount of football.
Yes.
You know, like, there's some instances where Dak Prescott was hurt in Dallas, or Lamar Jackson hurt in Baltimore. Like, Cooper Rush has experience. He might be a guy that Stefanski likes. I don't know.
Right.
I wouldn't be stunned to see Cooper Rush play at some point in the regular season.
We head to halftime. The Vikings shut out in the first half. 3-0 at half, the Ravens over the Vikings. J.J. McCarthy did start this game. And listen, we're not trying to pile on here. This is just what you see with your eyes is what actually happened.
And
you know, we go down there, and J.J. McCarthy just absolutely airmails what should be a touchdown from an NFL quarterback 9.999 times out of 10, and just couldn't get it done. And He gets pulled. Wentz is already in for them, who's now gone 9 of 11 for 92 yards. It would not surprise me if McCarthy ends up third on the depth chart.
QB3. Because like let's say Kyler Murray gets hurt. If you're Kevin O'Connell, and I don't think his job is on the line, but it's kind of an important year for KOC. Like, who you put? Are you putting McCarthy out there? Are you putting Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
I'm guessing he's going to go with Wentz. If things keep trending in this direction, right. I know what they invested in J.J. McCarthy, but it feels like they've already pulled the plug on that one, not falling victim to the sunk cost fallacy.
The other thing, too, is not only bringing in Kyler Murray kind of let you know what they thought about J.J. McCarthy, but I think also having Carson Wentz still on the roster kind of tells you what they think about J.J. McCarthy as well.
Yeah.
Like you just said, who do we want as the backup here? I don't think we want this guy as the backup.
Nope.
Yeah.
They want him to develop.
Yeah.
Like, just you'll be on the roster. You can develop. But if we're in a pinch and we need someone to play, it's not you.
Yeah.
I mean, there were people last year that thought that McCarthy had a soft benching. Like, and then they were playing, he's healthy, but they don't want to put him out there. So they're going to continue to play Carson Wentz. And then Carson Wentz was out there on a Thursday night against the Chargers. I mean, it looked like both his shoulders are about to fall off. I'm like, is he going to make it through? It wasn't good. And I feel like the Vikings are very aware of that and are going to make sure that they cover all their bases in case of emergency with Kyler Murray.
Just an excellent handoff here by Shedeur Sanders. Look at that technique.
I'll tell you what, you missed the pass that he had beforehand. Okay. A little drop back in rhythm. Shedeur first. Shedeur, it's been two plays, but they picked up a first down.
There it is. You know what? He's starting. We just said it. There it is. We're going to say that he's going to start for the team. It is
MVP? Question mark?
It is 7-0 Bills over the Browns. Kyle Allen started for Buffalo. Yeah, 2 of 2 for 35 yards. Ray Davis, 7 carries on that drive.
Get him out of there.
Ray Davis, 7 carries, 21 yards. He punches it in from the 1 yard line as well. So that's kind of where we sit with all of that. But Shedeur Sanders is on the field here in what we expect to be the entire first half. That was the plan before the lightning delay. Then we were going to get Watson in the third quarter and Gabriel there in the fourth quarter. And what I believe in my heart of hearts is already a decision that's been made, but from what we hear, an open quarterback battle.
Yeah, I think they've decided. Whether it's Watson or Shedeur, I'm guessing it's Watson. I'd be pretty surprised if it's not Watson. I think they know who their quarterback is.
19 years ago today, the Texas Rangers set the modern era record for the most runs in a single Major League Baseball game when they beat the Orioles 30-3.
Wow.
I don't remember that game.
I do not. I remember what happened to the Mariners earlier this week. I remember that game.
Yes.
22-0 in your eye hole.
Yeah.
I do not remember 30-3, though.
30-3, 19 years ago today.
That's insane.
Yeah. Seems like I would have remembered 29 hits. 30 runs on 29 hits. Yeah.
29.
30 runs on 29 hits.
Was it a position player in the fourth inning?
I mean, like, it had to have been, right? It had to have been. I mean, unbelievable. That's awesome. I mean, on the break, I'm actually going to go back and look at that game. Yeah. I'm like, see what that was.
What is the box score?
Yeah, see what that was all about. But 30-3, 19 years ago today. When we come back, we said we're going to talk a little fantasy football here with Jen Piacenti and see if you guys can identify where you're drafting and what you should be doing, the strategy this year. Is it running backs? Is it wide receivers? A little bit of both. All of that here on the other side.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There is no quarterback controversy. Ooh. We just decided here on this desk right now, Matt Brown, Femi Abefe, joined now by Jen Piacenti, and we have decided on this desk there is no longer a quarterback battle going on in Cleveland. It's Shador's job.
Call it in, Todd.
Jen, this is it. We decided.
Happens. It happened. We saw it. We saw it. I mean, you saw Watson even give the uncomfortable clap. Like, yeah. I have to support.
He walked over and just ceremoniously handed his helmet over and said, okay, I'm done. That's it.
You take the green dot.
Yeah, there it is.
You're now the quarterback. Yeah,
I'm donezo.
I'll just have my $40 million.
Shedeur Sanders did go right down the field. He was 4 of 4 for 43 yards, and he did just throw a touchdown pass. It's now 7-7 there in that one. But let's shift gears here because we want to talk some fantasy. It is that time of year. Everybody still plays fantasy. Everyone's getting prepared for their drafts and all of that. And I like to talk about just macro strategy first before we get into just players themselves. We got away from running backs early in the drafts for a while. It seems like we're kind of coming back around because the bell cows are few and far between Are we now, are we back team running back? Is that where we, is that what we're doing?
This is such a great question. Yeah. Definitely love that you brought this up. Mm. So I've always been team running back, right? Because bell cow running backs have been fewer and fewer for years now. So to me, that means that they are more and more valuable. Mm. But I think that perhaps we have overcorrected.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. This is why you tuned in. See, this is why you tuned in.
So I was in a draft yesterday, and I was drafting at pick 10, and I was able to start Amon-Ra St. Brown and Justin Jefferson.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
What?
Right.
What?
Yeah.
It's still a PPR league. Mm-hmm. And I think what's happened is people have memory of wide receivers getting really injured last year, and the running backs were pretty healthy.
Right.
So we have very short memories, and we think that's fine. Mm-hmm. But in reality, running backs are probably still just as likely or maybe more likely to get injured. They take a beating. So in that case, it's sometimes running backs are coming off the board early because people are panicking. If I don't get a running back, I don't get a running back. Mm-hmm. And I think they're missing up on the value. It just matters how many total points you get, guys. If you're really strong at wide receiver and you put a wide receiver in your flex, you just need competent running backs. That being said, I have, you know, in my bigger money leagues, I've always won by having a really stud running back.
Right.
I don't think you shouldn't have one, but there's a lot of ways to play this. So, you know, zig, zag, if you want to win, if you actually want to win and not just do well, then sometimes you have to have a different strategy than everybody else.
Get uncomfortable a little bit. Yeah.
Fortune favors the bold. Mm-hmm. So I guess let's say, like, you have the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Because like number two is pretty easy, right? But number one, like who do you pick between Gibbs and Bijan? Like where are you supposed to go there? Like because like that could be the difference between you winning your league and somehow finishing outside the playoffs or whatever.
I think you really can't go wrong. You can't beat yourself up. Whoever you take, and both of them could easily be the number one pick. Now, how often does the number one pick actually end up as the number one fantasy player? It never happens. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. When Justin Jefferson was the number one pick, he did not finish number one. You know.
Right.
You know, we've seen McCaffrey, you know, years after years. So, and when you draft him late, that's when he ends up number one, right? That's how Christian McCaffrey works. So you're not going to go wrong. I think they both have incredible upside. We know why. Bijan, I think, could see positive touchdown regression, right? Because he got vultured by Algier, who, by the way, is going to go vulture Jeremiah Love.
I was going to say, out of town now.
So.
Yes, out of town now.
Yeah, he's going to happen. And we got Stefanski there. We know Stefanski loves to run the ball. He loves to target the tight end. We know they're coaching up that offensive line with Bill Callahan. So, you know, I think there's a lot of positive things going on in Atlanta, actually. So I love Bijan. And then you got Jahmyr Gibbs. What else is there to say?
Yeah.
Monty's in Houston. So running, you know, he can do anything he wants. So
you can listen to Jen on SiriusXM. You can find her great work over at Shark Bets as well. Jen, everybody likes to ask about who people love. Who do you hate? And that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't like them as a player, but maybe like where they're going, the value, it seems, whatever. Like who is there a player you just kind of like, I'm not ending up with this guy ever because it just doesn't seem it's working out for
me. There's actually quite a few. And one of them, I kind of hinted at this earlier, is actually Jeremiah Love. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I don't think he's an elite talent. Mm-hmm. I do, but I think that situation is tough.
Yeah, there's a lot of running backs on that roster, by the way.
A lot of running backs on that roster. And we're talking about a bad offensive line, and we're talking about a team that's supposed to be bad. How often is the game script going to favor him? And remember how excited we all were to draft Ashton Jeanty last year?
Right.
We were like over on his touchdown props. This did not work out, guys. It didn't work out. So I think we have high expectations for Jeremiah Love. I think next year, maybe we'll see this. That's what happened with Bijan, right? His second year is when he really took off. So that's my thing. He's somebody that I just, as much as I love the talent, I would love to have him. It's just not working out.
Yes, I have all unders on. I bet every under I can find for him on the season and everything and all that. And again, same deal. I love the talent. I hate the situation.
Right.
Love the talent.
Yeah, that's what happens. You go high in the draft. You know, you go to bad teams. The Arizona Cardinals, one of the worst teams that we have. Speaking of rookies, is there a rookie that has piqued your interest? I know a lot of people, Dejan Stribling seems like to be like the topic du jour the last couple of weeks. Is that the rookie for you? Is there another guy that we're maybe not speaking about?
I think Casey Concepcion. Here we are, right?
Cleveland Browns.
He's incredible talent. And I think, you know, you got a Monken offense. There is quite a ceiling possible for Casey Concepcion, and he's going late. He's a value. I think he's really great. Carnell Tate is another one. Very interesting, though. I have to say I'm getting more Wandale Robinson. Not only is the camp buzz excellent, but the fact that he came over with Daboll, and that he's not only in the slot anymore, and that he's competing with a rookie and a 31-year-old Calvin Ridley. So that's a good sleeper, you guys.
So you were telling us a story as you came in here. So you will be back again next week as well. Yeah. And
she can't get enough
for something very, very interesting that's going on here next week.
This is so good. So Circa is hosting the first ever Legacy Fantasy Football Drafts $100,000 buy-in.
Wow.
Rumor has it our own Derek Stevens is going to have a team.
Okay.
So yeah, I am going to be hosting
He can afford it. Yes. Yes. He doesn't need any partners for that.
Lot of these teams will be partners, of course. So they're all going to be set up in the cabanas downstairs, and we're going to run it like a real NFL draft with, you know, draft girls and handing the cards. And then I'm going to run around interviewing everybody and asking them what they think about the picks and all that. And it's going to be a blast. If you're in town, come out, watch this. I mean, who doesn't want to see, like, how much do you believe in Carnell Tate?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe him $100,000 worth?
Yeah. There's going to be some telling picks in that draft for sure, right? For sure.
We all have our convictions, but you have $100,000 worth of convictions. that's a different ballgame. How many drafts did you do yesterday? Because you've been here, you were here yesterday. You were doing the event at the Stadium Swim. Like, you guys, it is like a fantasy football convention right now here. With like Brad Evans was in earlier, a ton of different people. How many drafts did you do yesterday?
I only did two. Are you proud of me?
Yes. That's a lot of restraint.
Only two. I did a Sports Illustrated draft, and then there was a Beat Jen Piacenti draft at 12 o'clock. And then today I've got two. I've got a women's only league, which is just my favorite. It's such a good group of ladies. And then at 2 o'clock, I have a charity league for V Foundation. So if I win that and it's up to $300,000, I'm going to donate all of my proceeds to pediatric cancer research.
Nice.
So root for me. Awesome. But, you know, James Roday is in that one too. And Thomas Everett Scott. We've got some celebrities, Michael Fabiano. But I can take him down, guys.
Yes, absolutely.
It's light work.
We're going to run pure. We're going to run pure. That's exactly what we're doing here. So let's shift. You also do betting content as well over at Shark Bet. So what team have you kind of fallen on? Don't say the Rams, because everyone loves the Rams. I love the Rams. Everyone loves the Rams. What team have you fallen in love with outside of the Rams?
I don't know. Okay, I probably shouldn't say this because it also happens to be my home team, but I'm starting to believe in the Cowboys, guys. Can you top me off
a
ledge?
Femi's a Cowboys guy.
Can you top me off a ledge? Because I'm starting to believe it. My heart's starting to swell, and I know there's going to be pain at the end, but do you remember the 90s, how good they were?
It was a long time ago. In high definition, it hasn't been great.
I do remember from all the memes that I did about the last time the Cowboys were good. Yes.
The Cow on the History Channel. The defense, like, I'm there. Like, the defense, everyone's excited that it's improved.
Yeah.
But we were talking about it earlier this hour. Improved could also mean like 27th, because they were the worst last year.
So
how improved is this? And also, like, let's keep Dak healthy.
Improved do you have to be, right? We know this is going to be, this is a gaudy offense.
The offense is awesome.
It's awesome. The greatest of all time. Okay. It is an awesome offense, and awesome for your fantasy football teams, by the way, as well. Just bonanza of points. We know Dak has actually become an excellent quarterback.
Yeah.
He really has. Mm-hmm. So I believe in the second year with Shoddy. So I don't know how much better the defense has to be, because it's all about the pathway. It's the same thing for baseball, right? I'm not sure that there's any team in the NFC East that's so much better. Sorry, Eagles fans. But I don't think so. So they win that, and the matchup is right. I mean, I know hope springs eternal, but I'm just saying, I don't know that they have to be that much better to do it.
Yeah. I mean, we were actually just talking about the division. And like, I'm not very high on Washington, so I don't really consider them a threat. I think the Giants are probably a year away, maybe, and all of that.
I agree.
It could be just a head. Yeah, I mean, it could be a head-to-head.
Yeah.
Without A.J. Brown.
Yeah, it could be a head-to-head. It could be a head-to-head.
What could go wrong?
Listen, I'm like, Femi's like, will you shut up? All right, I'm sick of this.
Okay, we will embrace the pain together when it ultimately happens. Yes. Okay, Femi, I'll be back.
She is Jen Piacenti again, at Jen Piacenti over on the Twitter machine, at Shark Bets over there as well, and you can hear on Sirius. Appreciate the time. Thank you
my
so
pleasure,
much,
guys.
And good luck
enjoy
this
your
season.
Time
Thank
here.
You.
Welcome
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment here. Where does the time go?
Hey, man.
It's been fun. Femi Abebebe here on the desk with me, making the time fly by. I did go ahead and look at that box score in the 30-3 game from 19 years ago. It was 30 runs on 29 hits. The Orioles only had one error. So, not a lot of unearned stuff going on here in this one. But you get down, the Rangers hit 6 homers in that game. They walked 8 times. And then you get to the pitching list here, and you get into 6 earned by the starter. Then a reliever comes in, throws 2/3 of an inning, gives up 8 earned. A guy comes in, throws another 1 inning, gives up 7 earned. And then they go to the position player for 2 innings, who gives up 9 in that one. Whatever. So that's how you get to 30.
Yeah. There you go.
That's how you get to 30. And
did anybody have an insane box score on the Rangers?
Is there a
6-for-8 or something
so
like that?
So everyone got a hit, as you would probably imagine.
Yes, you would assume.
3-for-6, 3-for-7, 2-for-5, 2-for-5, 3-for-7, 2-for-7, 5-for-7, and then 2 4-for-6s in that one. So lots of everybody boosting their stats.
It's
there.
Like Oprah in the Christmas episode. Everybody yeah, gets a gift.
Everybody, you know? Over there in one that we said the game is fairly important for multiple different reasons. Again, the Yankees right on the Rays' heels now, and then also Dylan Cease trying to get his name back at the top of that Cy Young award winning. So 3 innings, no hits. That's pretty good, right? If you do not allow a hit,
solid.
Yes. The only problem for Dylan Cease might run into is that he's at 52 pitches already through those 3 innings. And so that'll happen when you rack up 5 Ks, as he has already. So 5 of the 6 outs coming via strikeout, of the 9 outs, I should say, coming via strikeout for him. So down to 2.37 ERA on the season for Cease. And do you think ultimately, and I know we've gotten past this, I think that thankfully Jacob DeGrom broke the algorithm of what it takes to win a Cy Young and all of that. But do you think that Schlittler, all things equal, gets the nod just because the Yankees are better than the Blue Jays? Let's just say these stats end up being almost identical.
I would say yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure if it's because the Yankees are better. I think it's just because he's on the Yankees.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like a Yankee bump. Hey, he happens to be pitching in New York. So there's more voters that happen to be based in New York, or they just they're the biggest brand in the sport. So tie goes to the Yankees.
Right.
I guess is how you should be thinking about it in any award.
That's kind of how I feel, unfortunately, too, where it's Cease could end up with 10 Ks today and have the far better start than Schlittler had yesterday. But one's a Yankee and one's not.
100%. I mean, think back to a few years ago. American League Rookie of the Year. This one is one that still pisses me off till this day. Luis Gil. You might be watching and listening, being like, who the hell is that? Yeah, he won the AL Rookie of the Year in 2023. He beat out Colton Cowser for the Baltimore Orioles because he pitches for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. Mm-hmm. And he was pitching really well in April, May, and June. Fell off a cliff July, August. Apparently didn't matter.
Right.
He did enough, I guess, in the early months when Gerrit Cole was on the IL to then all of a sudden win American League Rookie of the Year. I believe he is now in AAA or AA, and that was your AL Rookie of the Year. And not like Colton Cowser's lighting the world on fire, but he's in the big leagues.
Right.
You know what I mean? But because Luis Gil was pitching in the Bronx, people look what he did. He's the AL Rookie of the Year. And this guy, you could see in real time, he was a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter.
Right.
He pitches for the Yankees.
1-0 currently Braves over the Brewers. Of course, Brewers won yesterday with the Miz on the hill. They have Logan Henderson going today against this Braves squad. He is giving up 2 hits, 1 earned, a couple of Ks there in that one. Perez on the hill for the Braves on the opposite side here. He has yet to give up a hit there to this Brewers squad. So, pretty important game now all of the sudden, as this Braves lead has shrunk now down to where this Phillies team, just like we're talking about with the Yankees and the Rays, this Phillies team is now eyeballing the Braves in that division.
it's still wide open. We said it at the top, man. They have seven games between the Phillies and the Braves. Like, this thing is not even started yet, unless Philadelphia were to just all of a sudden fall off a cliff in these other matches. But if they can be within shouting distance, they are right there with Atlanta to where they control their own destiny and they can go out there and get wins off of the Braves. So I'm sure a lot of people that bet the Braves to win the NL East from maybe before the start of the season or whatever, you were looking pretty good. You're feeling pretty good. And you still should feel pretty good, all things considered. But, you know, it's a little bit of a sweat now.
Yeah.
You know, no longer coasting home.
Phoebe's got a few baseball bets. We got the Cardinals and the Phillies. That's coming to you at 6:05 Eastern, 3:05 out here. Quinn Matthews versus Andrew Painter. Looking at a first five there in that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, give me the Phillies in the first five in that contest. I want to back Andrew Painter at home. He's coming off a little bit of a rough start, but I just like his underlying stuff. It looks pretty good against his Cardinals team. So pay a little bit of a price, -135 though, but makes all the sense in the world for me. So let's go fighting Phils.
7:15 Eastern, 4:15 Pacific. We've got the Cubs over there in Seattle. It is the highly anticipated debut of Cade Anderson. If you're just joining the show, we gave the resume here, but the very, very quick version is 93 and a third innings and 135 strikeouts. If that tells you anything for Cade Anderson,
he's
what
good.
He was doing there in the minors. That said, he is coming in as a favorite over the Cubs, who are a very, very good baseball team. So the hype is that is surrounding this Cade Anderson call-up is massive.
It's the principal play of the day.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to bet it on principle.
Right.
I'm going with the Chicago Cubs in the first five. As much as I'm excited about Cade Anderson, I'm a Seattle Mariners fan. I'm absolutely just fired up for this whole thing. I got to bet Chicago. Like, this has been the hottest team in baseball in the National, at least hottest team in the National League since the All-Star break. Only the Red Sox have been better since the All-Star break. But David Peterson is a guy that the FIP much lower than the ERA. So let's back David Peterson. And maybe Cade Anderson can't live up to these lofty expectations in his first start in his big league debut.
8:10 Eastern, 5:10 Pacific. The Guardians are heading to Denver to play the Rockies. And Tanner Bibee, you see this, we see flashes. We were talking about that, you know, some starts you're like, man, this guy could be a front end guy. And then the very next start looks like, oh, never mind. This guy's absolutely not a front end guy. Up and down. That's basically the whole MO here of Tanner Bibee's career, and you're going to go ahead and fade him at least in the first five.
Yeah, we go from the principal play of the day to the plug your nose play of the day. Let's go with the Colorado Rockies in the first five, +111. Gabriel Hughes, one of the unluckiest pitchers in all of the big leagues. The FIP, 3.5, not too shabby. You know, the ERA, it says it's terrible, 6.69. I don't think he's good, but I don't think he's as bad as the ERA suggests. So, like we said earlier, we're going dumpster diving in Denver. Rockies, first five, more of a coin flip game, so I'll take the plus money all day long.
Yeah, the only one that was interesting to me today, and then the price just got way out of control, I wanted to back the Diamondbacks, but man, like the Soroka love, he's been pitching very well for them. I mean, this thing's out to 190 at MGM.
Ooh.
Like, the Diamondbacks as a 190 favorite almost makes me want to go back on the other side.
Yeah, like, do you play the other side?
Now it makes me want to go back the other direction. I'm like, listen, I like the way the Soroka's been playing, and obviously that lineup for Arizona has been getting it done as well. But, boy, you start getting into this. I mean, this is a price range is typically for your Chris Sales and your whatever of the world and stuff. And, like, now -190 at BetMGM for Soroka against Cincinnati. And I get it. Cincinnati is about as frustrating a team as there is in the world to bet on, because you see all of that talent, and for whatever reason, you just, there's so many one run outputs by this lineup.
Yep.
And it's just like, but boy, it is pushing me pretty close to coming in on the other side on this thing.
I was like, Rhett Lauder has a lot of pedigree too. Maybe he hasn't like lived up to the expectations that we all had coming in, but I mean, +163. Arizona, there's also some weird stuff with the Ketel Marte's. I don't know. You don't know whether he's going to be at the ballpark or not. Who knows? You see him at the casino or at Top Golf. I don't know where he is. Like, where in the world is Ketel Marte? Apparently, is a new hit show for the kids out there. But I would not be laying that big price on Arizona, though. I would not do that. Even though the Diamondbacks are a pretty intriguing team, they're a frisky team. But I think we've probably reached the point of no return on that one.
So the Falcons decided, oh, you guys want to say that we're terrible and whatever. The Falcons have scored 31 points. There's 13 minutes left in the third quarter. The Falcons backups have gone out here and are just trouncing the Colts right now. 31-6 with 13 minutes left in the third quarter. So they're like, hey, how dare you say that we have no chance in this division?
They took it personally. Yeah. I am sweating. And I wish I could see this game somehow. I guess we can't. Commanders, Lions, it's 17-13 Detroit. 2-minute warning. I just no touchdown, please.
Yeah. Yes.
That's all I'm asking.
Seriously, that's all we're asking.
Just no touchdown.
It's not a big ask.
No touchdown.
Yeah, it's not a big ask.
Just get a stop.
Let us do that.
Victory formation. Let's go home. Let's get to the window. No touchdown, but with the NFL preseason will be active all throughout the rest of the day.
We joked, will there be a quarterback controversy as Cooper Rush goes 10 of 11 there for the Falcons? Never mind. Jack Strand is 6 of 6 for 108 and a touchdown. Never mind. It might be Jack Strand that we're talking about starting here for the Falcons.
Did Kevin Stefanski game plan for this game?
Seriously. Came in and just absolutely putting it on the Colts here in week number 2 of the preseason. So let's definitely overreact to this one too, 100%. Just like we did the
Falcons
first one
to win the South.
Stay right here on Visa. Don't go anywhere. We got Live Bet Saturday coming up. Ben Stevens. Then a little bit later, Brad Taylor, Will Hill take over. And then of course, cashing out this evening. For Femi, I am Matt. Good luck on all your bets.